Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jennifer Sparrow. I'm here with Jim Russell from Manhattanville College, where he is the Chief Information Officer, and Victoria Kazin, who was hired to be the Organizational Transformation and Effectiveness Manager at the City University of New York, although she's recently left that position and is working in a private practice firm called Hands on Change. And our conversation today is going to be about change literacy in higher education. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'd like you to maybe talk a little bit about what change literacy is. I think we've all heard the term change management. I think we know in higher ed IT that change is just the nature of the business in which we're in. But I'm curious about this literacy piece that you put in after the word change.
In great part, it's actually a lesson learned from the librarians, the folks who have been talking about information literacy as something broader than just a toolkit, but something that allows the individual to move past that and be able to experience new types of changes and understand their role in that change. So if you will, then, change literacy for me becomes kind of a higher level organization of the change process within an organization. So where in the traditional sense, change management delivers a series of tools and protocols and methods to help move an organization based upon some vision or some action from a prior state to a new state. Change literacy will encompass both that element, but also in a more strategic sense, prepare that organization for how to respond to future changes, or in today's world, multiple concurrent changes, and better absorb those changes in the process.
Interesting. So, Victoria, I know you were hired on to run a large-scale ERP change effort at the City University of New York. But I love the title, Organizational Transformation and Effectiveness Manager. Tell us what the vision was for that position and how it embodied itself.
Sure. So the position was actually titled a little bit differently. I think it was called Change Manager.
Okay. Less exciting, but still equally important.
Less exciting. And so higher ed is not a field that has used my profession very much. And the one thing that I realized that I would need to bring to the table is not only the knowledge of change management and what that is, but some other tools. So when you're changing from one type of organization to another, you're changing processes, you're changing the way people work, you're changing the way people think very often. All of those things have associated tools you can use. So for instance, you want to do something faster, more efficient. I would pull from Six Sigma, for instance. I don't know, Lean Six Sigma, for instance. If you want to do an analysis of how well your organization works, if you have the right roles and responsibilities in place in order to be ready for the change, you would pull from some of the organizational disciplines. So what I wanted to include was the permission, the ability to not only do change management, but to also make the organization more effective through the use of these multidisciplinary tools.
Well, I think it's certainly a fascinating conversation as we talk about ERP changes and ERPs even moving to the cloud for higher ed institutions. I think getting the folks that have been doing this business who deal with the student information system or our financial reporting systems on a daily basis to think about the possible, not just about what we've done and how we've done it for 50 years in the past, but what does this new technology allow us to do and how does it allow us to do it more efficiently, differently, more customer friendly? I think it's a fascinating conversation and one we don't often give ourselves time to have in higher ed because we are so currently focused on what the major initiatives and major issues are now. So I appreciate that perspective and what you're bringing to the table there. I appreciated your statement about change readiness. Could you talk to us a little bit, Victoria, about what is change readiness? And maybe, Jim, jump in and talk about how we can help institutions and individuals get there. So,
Sure. Change readiness was used within CUNY's ERP to figure out, because CUNY has 24 colleges, each with their own personalities. It's like trying to change 24 different businesses with 24 different presidents and so on and so forth. It's highest level of complexity that I've come across in a long, long time. In order to figure out readiness, we had to do some assessments of those individual institutions and the quite frankly, the folks within them. The readiness was essentially, what it boiled down to was a scale, quite frankly, that a rating scale, if you will, that gave us and those we work with an appreciation for where more work needed to be done in terms of increasing awareness of what we were trying to do, increasing the knowledge about how we were trying to do it. So if we found that the readiness level was low, we would try to go in and augment that that kind of information so they were more ready.
We also used a lot of that assessment and that change readiness awareness to drive some of the strategic plans around the ERP implementation. An organization as large as CUNY can't really do it all at once. So there were opportunities and decision points where maybe a school would fall out of a particular wave of an implementation, or a module might be scaled back in terms of what we would deploy based upon various factors. So the change readiness being a portion, the staffing ratios being another measurement, but just a series of measurements to really see whether or not that organization is ready for that particular change or ready for the next stage of more change, or in addition to all the other changes happening at that school, maybe a change of presidents, if now was the opportune time to bring in the disruption of an ERP or any other kind of significant change.
That's, a fantastic model. I think it certainly must present an opportunity, even as you conduct this readiness scale, to start to bring more awareness around this topic. So Jim, maybe talk about it. I think you hired Victoria for this position. So talk to me about what your vision for this transformation manager, that's what I'm going to call you today.
It's really what I envisioned her doing. What happened was, as any organization should, by the time we got to our third or fourth, or for that matter, fifth year of this particular ERP implementation, which has run 7 years so far, maybe eight, was we as an organization within the project, we were maturing. The university was maturing as leadership began to understand better its role in change. And the individual directors and other leaders were starting to change. We'd gone through a process really of being very theoretically based and based upon what the consultants gave us. We just sort of gave them a checklist and everyone was fine with that because they could check it off. To the next stage where we started to introduce certain kinds of interventions. To the final and ultimate stage that resulted in bringing in Victoria, where we were able to extend a lot of those changes and those interventions we had, but also start trying to build the case for what would happen in the future. The failing that so many of these change management processes have is they're tied to a project. And so you believe the change ends with the end of the project, even if you run it long. And so when Victoria came and started introducing a slightly different change language for it that really talk about an ongoing transformation, not just process improvement, but that really those changes that we'd been feeling for a few years could be crystallized and formed into the kind of position that she created for herself.
Yeah, and I think that for me, what I saw was missing was kind of a high touch approach. When you come into an institution that is not used to change, you can't just give people a checklist and say do this. They don't know how to do this. So some of the transformation was transformation of change leads and to say, look, this is really how you need to think about it, or this is how do you need to approach it? So sometimes even scripting things for people so that their first foray into change is not where they could be more comfortable with it. And so that was a lot of what I did.
It sounds to me like that's not just a transformation of people, but of the culture, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be accepting of this. So Maybe either one of you can answer this question, but can you give us a few strategies to transform the culture of an IT department?
Certainly. Where to start with how to transform IT? Some of it goes back to looking for, if you look at Kotter's literature about burning platforms or about the basis and the need for that change. In the methodologies that change managers use, they often look for starting off with basically an awareness of what kind of change state needs to be there. I've found that changing the nature of the conversation away from being very technical to one that's a little bit broader. So making sure that all the participants in my IT organization understand the importance and the relevance of the larger goals of the organization. So whether it be more individualized instruction, whether it be some basic bread and butter of increasing enrollment or retention, of making sure that they can tie everything back to those pieces. That gives them the compelling story, the awareness of why the change. It's moving them away from the idea of the only change that we're talking about is the implementation of Starfish or some other specific technology, to the awareness that what we're doing is we're implementing a retention strategy. So it goes back to just that basic first step of the awareness, which often drives them to the next stage of a typical change process, which is the desire. And that's another difficult discussion to have in higher education. But it all has to start with the basic of awareness.
I just want to say one thing.
Sure.
Culture eats strategy for breakfast. I didn't say that.
You just said it, but maybe you didn't say it originally.
I didn't say it originally. But culture change is the outcome of many things. And Jim is one of those things. He's the CIO. Change in leadership is first and foremost. That could bring culture change. But I don't believe it's possible, quite frankly, to come out of the gate and say we're going to change the culture here. The culture is
right.
Leadership. What's important to the organization? What is expected from its clientele? If we're talking about IT, whether IT views their clients as such, or rather people that they need to kind of bring along, which is the traditional IT, I think, mentality, where IT is the expert and everybody else is just brought along versus the other way around. Things like ITIL, all of these chip away at culture, but culture is, you know, follows later and last.
Okay. So. Good to know. Thank you. I think it'd be interesting if you have, either of you have any advice to give other leaders when they're trying to implement change or transformation at their institution. So you said culture trumps strategy every day, read strategy for breakfast every day. So, but I think that if there's some concrete pieces that you could talk to other leaders looking to make change happen. And Jim's going to tell us to hire Victoria, I know, because I can tell she's very talented and terrific.
So that's certainly lesson number one. But the other part is measure early and measure often. That quite often when we translate these strategic elements into tactical elements, we don't find a way to assess the efficacy and be able to measure. And one of the things that I've spent a lot of my time is being very creative about how to measure, acknowledging that I'm going to get it wrong the first time. So when I create things like a change readiness index, some sort of an index, a scalar of 1 to 5, whatever that might be, it's with the awareness that it's just a impression, a moment in time. It's based upon some surveys and some interviews and an additional set of measurements around staff levels. But it's the willingness to start not with the search for the one true data source and not to give up just because I don't have that data element, but just go out and find some way desperately to measure that. In today's session, one of the things we frequently challenged the participants was, how do you know this? Why do you think that that leader is effective? Why do you think that follower is not effective at following? and look for ways to see some sort of a measurable outcome to that story that you're trying to tell about the change?
I would say, so in addition to leadership, who's at the top, what their value system is, which, by the way, permeates the entire organization. They can't think one thing and do another. They're outed in no time. People know. Can't fool an organization. I think it's persistence, resiliency, and respect. I want to say it's respect. When we get to the top, very often we people, human beings, we forget that those that are, say, at a lower pay scale, understand, know, see, and have a lot of power because they impact how the work flows and what the culture is. Very often leaders discount that. Never, never discount people who are even a few levels below you. Do not think that your leadership team has the answers. They possibly do, but they probably don't. So reach into the depths of your organization and get as much information from the people on the ground as possible. That is your truer picture. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I think there's certainly a case to be made that also the higher ed industry as an industry or an organization, series of organizations, doesn't have to go this alone. The process of changing culture, changing an organization, this has been repeated in many entities across the world, and we can pull in some of those valuable lessons. So certainly that's part of why when we started an ERP implementation, we looked for whatever this change management, this adoption piece actually is, and why we were willing to reach out and take a piece of a private sector methodology or work with various individuals from different agencies or different organizations, bring them in, but also reach within our own organization and say, we don't really know all the answers here. Have you heard anything? Is there something that's working within your organization to do that? That willingness to reach out beyond ourselves and to reach both inside and outside to bring in the help. And here, especially at EDUCAUSE, where whenever we introduce this sort of a topic and we introduce the pain points or the challenges, the number of people who groan with us or nod with us or shake their heads with us, that's all about what you can do as a leader within this is to not go it alone. Don't reinvent the wheel. Reach out, hire the right people perhaps, but also just have those conversations wherever, whenever, with whomever you can.
Perfect. Any last tidbits you'd like to add as we close out our conversation today? Final words of wisdom?
Sure. People are inundated with so much information to believe that they are going to read and absorb all those things that you've put time and effort into writing is probably not a good idea. You need to communicate in many different ways to do that.
And for me, it's that the process that I'm describing of change literacy is not something that occurs overnight. So when we're talking about culture, when we're talking about institutions that never forget past sins and wrongs done them by IT, then you realize that we really need to view this as a long path. And so just as we think about how long it's taken our librarians to develop information literacy, and it's still changing and developing and still being just introduced in some disciplines in some areas, it'll be the same sort of process for introducing change literacy or change management within higher education. We're at really kind of the beginning of it because we're finally having to give in to these pressures. And now is the time that we start that process, and it will take years for us to mature through this to a full state of change literacy.
Thank you so much, Jim and Victoria, for your time. I hope you have a terrific rest of the conference.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.